Welcome to the Peckway Church Podcast. We're glad you're here. At Peckway, our mission is to transform lives by connecting people with God and with each other. It's our hope that this message will give you hope and encourage you to take the next step in your journey with Christ. For more information about our services and weekly ministries, visit us at peckwaychurch.com.
We worship today. We are called children of God when we are adopted into His family, and we're going to worship Him this morning, praising Him for that, for being our rescuer, our savior, our deliverer. Let's worship. I was walking the wayside, Lord, on a lonely road. I was chasing the high life, trying to satisfy my soul. All the lies I believed in left me crying like the rain. Then I saw lightning from heaven, and I've never just when I thought it was over, you brought me out of the grave. I'm gonna climb a mountain, I'm gonna shout about it. I am a child of love. I found the world of freedom, I found the friend of Jesus. I am a child.
on Avid Point. You've got 90 seconds before my position is compromised.
What if I can't find it?
It's not an option. We both know what's at stake.
Steak. Steak sounds good. I don't know what to tell you.
Reese, what happened?
I think they're right outside the door.
Stay calm. If they don't hear you, they'll move on. Reese, you've got to find it.
Come in. I found it.
That was a close one.
Bun-bun!
Mission accomplished.
Good night, baby.
Night, Mama.
Situation before where you could not find the lost toy. Well, that's our dads, right? Our heroes, our protectors, the ones who look that we look to for help. Happy Father's Day and welcome to Peckway Church. We are so happy that you're here today, and I want to say thank you for being with us as we worship together, and we would love to connect with you, and we have several ways in which to do that. For those here in person, if you look inside of your bulletin, you're going to find a gray connection card, and online, you're going to find a connect link in the chat window. If you would please take a moment to do that and fill that out during the service, we would love to be able to connect with you in that way. If you're a first-time guest, you can take out your mobile phone and you can text the word hello to 717-872-5679. You see it there on your screens. But again, we ask everyone to fill out this card. Those in person, if you'll drop the gray card in the gray box that's at the back of the room at the end of today's service. Regular attenders, you can just write your first and last name on that card. And if you have any new information, maybe you've changed your cell phone number, you have a new address, anything like that, that's very helpful for us to make sure that when we send out information that we get it to the right person. So once again, please just take a moment during today's service and fill out that card for us. Now, as a special way of celebrating Father's Day, today we are giving away a cordless drill, a DeWalt cordless drill. But you won't have an opportunity to be a part of that drawing unless you fill out that gray card or that online connect link there in the chat window. So do that again during some point in the service, and hopefully we'll draw your name. We are so excited again about this day, and we have been preparing for many weeks coming up to this moment, and so we're very excited to share these next few minutes together this morning, because we're going to hear a great message from Pastor Jerry, and then we're going to sing some amazing songs before we do that, these songs that are lifting up God our Father today. Now, ladies, don't tune out, because today's message is going to be relevant for all of us. We're going to be talking about the choice that we have, not only as fathers, but also as parents, to be present and to choose to guide our kids with wisdom and truth. Or we can just choose to ignore that and have the ungodly influences of our world be that loudest voice in our child's life. Listen to what 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says. It's talking about God's word. And it says, God's word is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So that's why we're looking to God's word today. You know, maybe the story of your life is not a happy one in which your father was present or he was very loving. And maybe you've repeated some of the same mistakes that your own father had in his life. You've done that in yours. But you know, your story doesn't have to remain that way because there's always room for a new chapter to be written in our lives. I'm going to invite you to stand once again as we sing to our Heavenly Father, and let's leave our guilt and our shame of our brokenness at that back door this morning when we came in, because today is a new day and a new beginning. So let's worship Him. Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. And my story isn't over, my story's just begun. And failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. And failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Ooh, lay your burdens down. Your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Arrival's not the end game, the journey's where you are. You never wanted perfect, you just wanted my heart. And the story isn't over if the story isn't good. And failure's never final when the Father's in the room. And failure's never final when the Father's in the room. Come home, the helpless find hope. Love is on the move when the Father's in the room. Prison doors swing wide, the dead come to life. Love is on the move when the Father's in the room. Sing it with me. Miracles take place, the cynical find faith. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. The Jericho walls are quaking, strongholds now are shaking. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. It ain't welcome anymore. Ooh. Amen. You are in his house today. We can leave all those things behind, just simply turning our heart over to him, trusting him this morning, because he loves us more than we could ever possibly conceive, ever that we could ever even imagine, he says. So would you let him, would you see him this morning? Would you look to him today? Let's worship him.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Over every enemy, Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, over every speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus.
With every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus.
Would you just bow your head for a moment? Just speaking Jesus over your family today. Just asking him to just whatever that need is in your heart and your life today. Jesus, we thank you for your power, for your name, for your presence in our lives and our hearts today, Jesus. God, we know this could be a day of happiness, but a day also of brokenness. And so, Lord, we want to be sensitive to you, to your leading, to your spirit, God. We know that there's power in your name, so we speak that today as we've just sang this song, as we've exalted you in this place, Lord. Would you just make our hearts tender to hear what it is that you want to say to us today? Maybe healing those relationships if it's broken with our father or maybe other family members. We thank you that you are our perfect Father. And that we can run to you. You tell us that you are a shelter. You are a strong tower. And so many times in our lives as men, we think we got to be tough. We got to be that strong tower. But God, you are a strong tower. Help us to be humble. Help us to run to you, to look to you, Father, for the answers to the things, the situations, the circumstances that we find ourselves in today. God, as we pour out our hearts in this next song together, God, as we remember who you are, Jesus, God, that you wanted this life with us, that you made a way for us to come to you through Jesus, through the sacrifice that Jesus gave his life on the cross for us. And so we're reminded today, Lord, that your name is wonderful, that your name is powerful, that nothing can stand against you and your wonderful grace, your wonderful mercy. And so we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
What a beautiful name it is, the name.
This morning, because his name is power. Nothing can stand against him. Would you pray with me one more time? Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you that we are in this place in your presence. And God, now we ask that the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would have your will and your way in this place, God, moving and doing what only you can do, Jesus, through the power of your holy word. And we pray and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, worship team. And I just want to begin sincerely and from my heart saying to every father, every dad here in this place and watching online that I just want you to know that I honor and respect you. And I really mean that from my heart because I realized this week as I was preparing this message, no matter the responsibilities that we care in the workplace, regardless of the responsibilities we care in the community or even in the church, all of those responsibilities pale in comparison to the responsibility we carry at home. Because the reality is, as fathers, we have this unique responsibility for God, not separated from our wives, not separated from the mothers, but in a unique way, God has given us responsibility as fathers to lead our children to know him and to serve him. I mean, the research is undeniable. The reality is, if our sons, if our daughters are going to believe in a loving father, a loving Heavenly Father, if they're going to believe in a trustworthy Heavenly Father, that belief, that trust, is ultimately formed and shaped primarily by their experience of you and me, their earthly fathers. And that's an awesome, terrifying responsibility that we carry, men. And so I just want to say to you today, I honor you and I respect you because you're here today or watching online because you say, you know what, to the best of my ability, with God's help, I want to be a godly father. I want to be a man worthy of my children's respect. I want to be a man that teaches my daughters, my son, that they're valuable, that they're loved, they're important. And folks, the reality is, given this, the significance of that responsibility, and given the relatively short time we have to accomplish it, because the reality is we might have our children 18, 19, 20 years, you know, in our homes, under our influence. As someone reminded me not a few weeks ago, some mother said, and I don't know, one of you might have shared it with me, but I've not forgotten it, that they were listening to a podcast, and a mother said, you know, really, we only have our kids for 18 summers. Now, you want that to mess with you for a while, 18 summers. And so that period is so brief, the time we have them so short, and so we need more than good intentions when it comes to being this godly father, this godly influence in our children's life. We need a plan. We need a strategy. And the reality is, that's many times where many of us begin to kind of implode. We begin to become overwhelmed. So how do I do that? Where do I find that strategy? How do I come up with the plan? And I get that, and I understand that. But today, what I would suggest to you, one of the ways that we can be helped in developing that plan and that strategy is going to God's Word and looking and becoming students of the men in the Bible's examples, to really begin to study their life. Because what I want to suggest to you is, while it is good to learn from our personal experience, it's far better to learn from the experience of others. Because the reality is, folks, we do not, mom and dad, dad particularly, we don't have the time to figure this all out by ourselves by making the mistakes one at a time and learning from our own experience. While that's good, it's much better for us to learn from the experience, even the bad experience of others. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at a man by the name of Lot. And we're going to look at his life and really examine the mistakes he made as a father for the purpose, the intent, that you and I would say, you know what, we're not going to make those same mistakes. Now, we'll make our own, but I want to suggest to you, by looking at Lot's life and his example with his children, I believe there are some major mistakes we can avoid as fathers. So let's get into it. Let's jump into the message. If you don't have your outline out, I want to encourage you to take it out. And let's just begin. Here's the first lesson we learn from Lot about being what I'm going to call a spiritual leader in our home, a spiritual leader in our family. Here's the first lesson. We need to be wise about our priorities. We need to be wise about our priorities. Now, let me give you the backstory. If you don't know Lot, if you're not familiar with the story, let me give you very quickly his backstory, at least the backstory to this scene from his life. Because what's happening here is Lot has left with his uncle Abram, their homeland, their family, including his father, for a new land, a promised land. And through that process, what happened, because God honored their faith, their obedience to that call, God honored him. And as a result, not only Abram, his uncle, but Lot became very, very wealthy. And the way they became wealthy is their herds expanded, their flocks grew. And that was a good thing, but there was a problem back in that day, especially if you've ever been to the land of Israel. That with that growth of their herd, with that growth of their flocks, what there became as well, it was this growth of demand on the limited resources of water and grass to feed and provide for the flocks. And as a result, what happened is more and more conflict arose between Lot's servants and Abram's servants. And so we want to pick up the scene in verse 8 here. That's the backstory of what we're going to read and what we're going to start walking ourselves through, because here's what we read next. Abram is speaking and he says this: "Let us not allow this conflict between us to come between us or our herdsmen. After all, we are close relatives. The whole countryside is open to you. Take your choice of any section of land you want and we will separate. If you want the land to the left, then I'll take the land to the right. If you prefer the land to the right, then I'll go to the left." We're told Lot took a long look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. The whole area was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord or the beautiful land of Egypt. And so Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with his flocks and service and parted companies with his uncle Abram. So Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot moved his tents to a place near Sodom and settled among the cities of the plain. But the people of this area were extremely wicked and constantly sinned against the Lord. Now, folks, there's a lot there in those verses, but I want to suggest to you, at least for me, the pivotal phrase in that passage is this phrase: Lot chose for himself. Lot chose for himself. Because what that reveals to me is what I want to suggest to you was Lot's misplaced priorities. Because what we're told in giving this invitation of his uncle, who really had the right to give the invitation, to look over the land and choose whatever land he wanted, what Lot did when he looked over the land, he chose a place, the portion of the land that he felt would put his family in the best position materially. But in choosing to put his family in the best place materially, he also chose to put his family in the worst position spiritually. Because you catch that phrase, it was well known, it was a matter of common knowledge that the people living in that area were extremely wicked. Not just, you know, not so nice people, extremely wicked and constantly sinning against the Lord. And we're going to come back to that. We're going to see an example, a specific example of that in just a moment. And so what we need to understand is in this moment, Lot was incredibly wise when it came to his financial future. But he was incredibly foolish when it came to his family's future, to what was in the best interest of his family. And for me, as I study that, one of the things, you know, not only do we notice what the text says, but it's also interesting to observe what it doesn't say. One of the things that troubles me as I read this text is nowhere in this text, or in fact anywhere in the Old or New Testament, is it ever suggested to us that the risk that Lot was taking with his family spiritually, the danger that he was putting them in spiritually, we're never told it ever crossed his mind, let alone even concerned him, bothered him in the least. We're never told that. Nowhere are we given a signal or a sign that Lot goes, well, you know, maybe should I or shouldn't I? Is this the best choice for the family? Lot just made the choice that put them in the position to prosper materially. In and of itself, folks, that's not wrong. But it showed and revealed very clearly Lot's priorities. And so in very real sense, I want to say to you again, as the text says, that's why I said it's a pivotal phrase, Lot chose for himself. Now you might be tempted, and that's fine, and I welcome it, but you might be thinking, if you don't know the story, you would say, well, you know, maybe Lot just chose what he did because he was trying to do the best he knew how as a father to provide for his family. And I would go there, except remember what I told you about his financial situation. He was not just wealthy, he was filthy rich. He was extremely wealthy. And so I think that case is very, very difficult, if not impossible, to make. It really is impossible to say Lot did what he did because he really thought his family needed it. And even if we go there, what I suggest to you, that still doesn't explain to me, at least, and you'd be the judge for yourself, but that still doesn't explain to me why Lot chose to give his family what they didn't need, more wealth, over providing them what they clearly needed, spiritual protection, spiritual leadership. It's not unique to fathers. It's as much a mother's job as a father's job, but I would suggest as parents, particularly as fathers, we have a responsibility to do two things. The first is to think ahead. As part of our role as a parent, as part of the role of being a mature individual, think ahead not for, just for ourselves, but for the family. The second thing is to be wise about our priorities, to be wise about what we're doing and why we're doing it. And in light of those two responsibilities, I'm going to suggest to you, from my perspective, Lot failed on both points. Because Lot failed to think ahead and take into account the negative influence, potentially even the destructive influence, moving his family near Sodom would do to the family. He failed to think ahead, but he also was unwise about his priorities. He was completely unwise about his priorities because he literally prioritized his wealth or increasing the family's wealth over protecting his family spiritually. But that's Lot. And this is Father Day, and this is us. So let me ask you, how are we doing with those same two priorities? Dads, how are we doing with thinking ahead and being wise with our priorities? Are we focusing so much on teaching our children to play, and there's nothing wrong with that, that we're overlooking our responsibility to truly teach them to pray? Are we so busy trying to set them up educationally, vocationally, professionally, maybe setting them up, you know, financially with you know, college fund or whatever, that we aren't focusing enough on setting them up spiritually to know God, to serve God, to love God? Are we so focused, mom and dad, on giving our children a biblical education? And that is certainly important. But in the process, we're so focused on that, we're overlooking modeling for them biblical conviction, biblical lifestyles, biblical priorities. Now, the reason I stress that, folks, because I really do believe if we do the former without the latter, what we are intentionally or unintentionally doing is modeling for our children how to misplace priorities. How to misplace priorities. And I stress that because almost without exception, folks, when we do that, it leads to two things. One is heartbreak for us as parents on down the line. And some of us have experienced that firsthand. But the other thing it does, and we're going to see this in Lot's life and example as well, we also set up our children and our spouses many times for unintentional pain and problems, unnecessary pain and problems in their life. So the first thing we need to learn from Lot when it comes to being a spiritual leader is we need to be wise about our priorities. Let me give you the second thing we learned from Lot's example, his negative example. The second thing we learn is we need to safeguard our children's environment and associates. We need to safeguard our children's environment and associates. I want you to look at what we read next, for we're told this: Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot moved his tents to a place near Sodom and settled among the cities of the plains. But the people of this area were extremely wicked and constantly sinned against the Lord. Now, again, I know we've already read that, but I read it again, folks, because I want to suggest to you this, that I believe, the best we can tell from the text, where Lot's problem began as a father is when he moved his tents to a place near Sodom and then settled among the cities of the plain. And I say that because apparently he thought he could somehow move his family, his children, near these people who were notoriously wicked. Not that they weren't just bad people. They weren't just, you know, non-church people. They were wicked people, notoriously evil. And somehow, for some reason, Lot apparently, it seems from the text to me, that he thought somehow his family could live next to Sodom without being impacted by Sodom. But even as I say that out loud, we all recognize how foolish that is, don't we? Because we all recognize that we become like the people we associate with. We know that. We parents say that to our kids all the time. In fact, when we were kids, our parents said that to us. We understand. We become like the people we associate with. And here's what's interesting. You see, how did it work out for Lot? Well, remember in chapter 13, which we're in right now, we read he moved his tents near Sodom. Now, fast forward just a chapter. You know what you read in chapter 14? If you're not familiar with the story, you now read that Lot and his family live in Sodom. And folks, that shouldn't surprise us, because the reality is, for Lot and his family, they couldn't live around Sodom for very long before they got drawn into Sodom, before they got drawn into the culture, to the people. Because the reality is, we can't be around them for very long without being impacted and influenced negatively, often negatively, by those people. That's why Paul warned this: don't be fooled. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. That's the way it works. That's not the way we hope it works, especially when we're kids, but that's the way it works. And let me net out that process for you. Let me just get a little bit more granular with this, folks. Here's how it works. First, you and I choose the environment. We choose to live near Sodom. Second, our environment begins to shape our associates. And then those people we associate with begin to shape our values. And then our values in your life and mine, those values we pick up, we inherit, that are shaped by those around us, our associates, begin to shape our decisions. And then over time, our decisions shape our life and our lifestyle. So let's go back to the case of Lot. What happened, folks, is here's the reality. When you and I choose to put our kids near Sodom, they will begin to associate with the people of Sodom. And when they choose to begin to associate with the people of Sodom, you know what's going to happen? Pretty soon they're going to begin to pick up the values of Sodom. And after they pick up the values of Sodom, it's not long before they begin to make decisions like the people of Sodom. And in time, that series of decisions like the people of Sodom will eventually lead them to live a life like the people of Sodom. Which is why I'm saying to us, and I'm reminding myself, folks, that it is absolutely essential as parents, mothers, and fathers, that we must safeguard our children's environments and our associates. Because if we don't, then like Lot, we are setting them up for disaster. We are setting them up for pain and for problems. Well, let me give you a third lesson that I learned from looking at the negative experience of Lot, his negative example as a father, about being a positive example, being a spiritual leader at home. And the third lesson is this: we need to be realistic about our influence. We need to be realistic about our own influence as mothers and fathers. For take a look at what we read next. That evening, the two angels came to the entrance of Sodom. Lot was sitting there, and when he saw them, he stood up to meet them. Then he welcomed them and bowed with his face to the ground. Now again, we've jumped ahead a little bit, but I'm going to give you just a little bit of cultural background that'll help you understand this. What we read there is the angels, and you would have read about that in chapter 13, but angels of the Lord had sent some angels to come and, if you will, investigate the city of Sodom. And when they came to the city, they found Lot sitting at the city gate, at the entrance to the city. And the reason he was sitting there is because that's the place that the elders, the leaders of the city, would gather. Kind of think, you know, the county courthouse. It was this place where the leaders of the community, the men, the leaders of the community, gathered. Which suggests to us, it's not clear, but it clearly suggests to us that Lot somewhere had gone from being outside the city to inside the city, now becoming one of the leaders and influencers of the city. And I would hope, and there's nothing to prove this or even suggest it, but I would suggest to you, just knowing human nature, that he probably got involved hoping he could change things, hoping he could influence the city in a new direction. So the question we got to ask ourselves is, did he do it? And we're going to answer that in a second, but before we do, let me give you a little bit more of the backstory, again, of what we haven't read that's part of the story, because this story goes on for six chapters in the book of Genesis. The reason the angels had come, and I suggested this already, the reason the angels had come to Sodom was to the cries of the city, the wickedness had, if you will, become known to God. God had sent the angels to come investigate the city. But before going to Sodom, God had visited Uncle Abram. And in the process of telling Uncle Abram that he was going to go to Sodom, and if he found the wickedness that he suspected, the city would be destroyed, Uncle Abram said, well, what if you found 1,000? He bartered with God, so to speak, my phrase, not the text. And he came down to finally say, God, what if you found 10 righteous people in the city of Sodom? Would you spare it? And God said, yes, if I find 10 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare it. I won't destroy it. So let's do the math. What God essentially was saying to Abram is, if I could find Lot, Lot's wife, Lot's two daughters, if I could find 6 people in addition to your family who are righteous, who serve me, who love me, then I'll spare the city. So the question we need to ask is, did the angels find 6 more? Well, let's keep reading and find out, because here's what we read next in the text. Lot is speaking. He says, my lords, come to my home to wash your feet, expression of hospitality, and be my guests for the night. You may then get up early in the morning and be on your way again. Oh, no, they replied. We'll just spend the night out in the city square. But Lot insisted, so at last they went home with him. Lot prepared a feast for them, complete with fresh bread made without yeast, and they ate. But before they retired for the night, all the men of Sodom, young and old, came from all over the city and surrounded the house. They shouted aloud, where are the men who have come to spend the night with you? Bring them out so that we can have sex with them. Now, folks, that's a rattling passage. But the reason I share it with you and what I want to unpack with you specifically is that clearly from that text, we could see that Lot failed to influence at least one man, young or old, in that city. And by extension, we have no suggestion that he even influenced one woman or child or girl in the entire city. Lot was unable to extend that influence. And in fact, beyond that, what we see very clearly in the text, not only did he fail to influence anyone in the city, quite the opposite had happened. The city began to influence and shape Lot, because I want you to listen to how he responded to that outrageous demand from the men of the city. He says, so Lot stepped outside to talk to them, shutting the door behind him. Please, my brothers, he begged, don't do such a wicked thing. Look, I have 2 virgin daughters. Let me bring them out to you, and you could do with them as you wish. But please leave these men alone, for they are my guests and under my protection. Now again, as I suggested earlier, I would give Lot an A+ for guarding the sacredness of a guest and hospitality in the ancient Near East culture, and that was sacred. But I would give him an F- for being a good father and protecting his daughters, which was also sacred. See, the reality is, folks, Lot failed to influence anyone. And in fact, it was worse than that. He actually had lost respect of the people in the community. Because I want you to notice what we read next. The men literally mock Lot, saying this. This fellow came to our town as an outsider, and now is acting like our judge. We'll treat you far worse than those other men. And they lunged toward Lot to break down the door. Folks, it's pretty obvious that Lot's neighbors had absolutely no respect for him. And while we aren't specifically told why, it seems to me pretty clear, pretty apparent, that the reason why was because there was nothing about how he lived his life in the succeeding years since moving into Sodom that suggested to his neighbors, to those men of the city, that he was any different from them. That there was anything different about his life, about his values, about his priorities. And that leads us to the fourth lesson we need to learn from Lot's bad example. And that is, to be spiritual leaders, folks, we must focus on living a life of credibility. We must focus on living a credible life. For it seems to me, as I read the text, it seems like Lot assumed, as long as I say the right things and believe the right things, it really doesn't matter how I live. It really seemed to be almost inconsequential to Lot, but I want you to notice how that worked out for him. Let's go to the next passage. It says, then the 2 angels reached out, pulled Lot into the house, and bolted the door. Then they blinded all the men, young and old, who were at the door of the house. So they gave up trying to get inside. Meanwhile, the angels questioned Lot. Do you have any other relatives here in the city? They asked. Get them out of this place. Your sons-in-laws, sons, daughters, and anyone else. For we are about to destroy this city completely. The outcry against this place is so great that it has reached the Lord, and he has sent us to destroy it. So Lot rushed out to tell his daughter's fiancés, quick, get out of the city. The Lord is about to destroy it. But notice this, but the young men thought he was only joking. Now think about that, folks. In the most important moment in their life and in Lot's life, Lot's son-in-laws couldn't take him seriously. They literally did not believe what he had to say. And again, I'm inferring this is conjecture, but I really believe, knowing human nature the way I do and the way you do, I think probably it's safe to at least suggest that the reason why was because the words that Lot was speaking in that moment were so out of sync with the life that he had been living in front of them day in and day out. The only way they could work out the math was to assume he was making a joke. As sick as a joke would seem, that was the only way they could do the math. And folks, that reaction, at least in my mind, shouldn't shock us, because let's acknowledge the fact, and we know it to be true, that credibility and respect is gained in your life and mine by consistency of living, right? And so if we want our family, we want our friends, we want those who are closest to us, our sons and our daughters, to seriously listen to what we have to say about God and about God's word and God's coming and God's principles, then for that to happen, we must live before them a credible life. We must live a life of integrity. Well, let me give you the final lesson we learned from Lot about being a spiritual leader. And again, it's because he made the mistakes that we're trying to avoid. The fifth lesson we learned, the final lesson we learned from Lot about being a spiritual leader, is to heed God's warnings. Or if you want to say it another way, to listen to God's word. We need to heed God's warnings. I want you to listen to the last verse there in your outline. It says, at dawn the next morning, the angels became insistent. Hurry, they said to Lot. Take your wife, your two daughters, who are here. Get out right now, or you will be swept away in the destruction of the city. When Lot still hesitated, the angel seized his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city, for the Lord was merciful. Now again, let that sink in. In spite of all that he had just experienced, at most a few hours before, in the middle of the night, Lot hesitated to leave Sodom. Even though he had gone out and told his future son-in-laws to flee, to get out of the city quickly because of the judgment of God was about to fall, Lot himself still remained in the city. And we need to ask the question why, and I'll honestly answer the question. We're not told why. All we could do, again, is conjecture. Perhaps it was because Lot didn't want to leave most of his wealth behind. After all, remember, that's why he moved to Sodom in the first place. Or perhaps, you know, and we've all experienced this, that now that the sun was up, things didn't seem as bad as they did the night before. The truth is, we don't know why Lot hesitated, but we do know, for whatever reason it was, Lot was unwilling to heed God's warning and leave the city. In fact, it's suggested, at least again as we read the text, it seems that if the angel, in God's mercy, hadn't taken his family and Lot by the hand and led them out of the city, they would have stayed and been destroyed with the rest of the city. And I share that, folks, and I share that, dads, because that reality really ought to shake us to the bones about how important it is for us as fathers and mothers to be wise about our priorities. How important it is for us as mothers and fathers to safeguard our children's environment and associates. For it seems Lot and his family had their heart and their lives become so entwined with the heart and the lives of the people in Sodom, that again, if God hadn't intervened, they probably never would have left. A wicked city. One that continually acted against God. And yet we're told His life became so entwined, his family life became so entwined, that if the angels hadn't intervened, because God was merciful, they would have stayed and experienced destruction. So let's go back to where we began. Because of Lot's prioritizing material prosperity over spiritual prosperity for his family, he moved his family first close to Sodom, but then into Sodom. And in the end, because of that choice, because of that set of priorities, it cost Lot his home. It cost Lot his wealth, the very thing he was chasing after. It cost Lot his wife, and it even cost Lot his daughters. In other words, that misplaced priorities, those misguided priorities, that failure to safeguard his family's spiritual health cost Lot and his family everything. And so, folks, I share that. I know that's a heavy message, but I share that because what I want to do this morning, and I know the reason you're here, Dad, is because you want to do this too, but I just want to challenge us again. I just want to rally us to say, Dads, can we just commit ourselves again to prioritizing the spiritual health of our family over the material wealth of our family? It isn't that being a provider is wrong, but it shouldn't come at the expense of the spiritual health of our family. In other words, let's choose to be spiritual leaders in our homes. Because if you and I fail to do that, then the reality is, like Lot, we are setting our wives and we are setting our children up to pay a terrible price. A terrible price. And so for the sake of those we love, and Dad, I know that you love your kids. Dad, I know you love your spouse. For the sake of those we love, let's commit, let's recommit today to be spiritual leaders. Let's bow our heads for prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just want to talk to dads. I just want to talk to fathers for a moment. And this isn't to exclude moms and single moms. You're doing an incredible job, and you have my deep, deep respect. But I want to just talk to the dads that are here today, online, in the room. And I want to suggest to you, Dad, that what I really believe, based on this story, on Lot's example, what our children need for us more than anything else is to be a spiritual leader in our home. Not the only spiritual leader, but a spiritual leader in our homes. They need us to be men that aren't swayed by convenience, by culture, by success. They need us to be men who are willing to do the right thing, whether anyone else does it with us or not. Men who are willing to follow God's leadership every day, every moment in their life. I really believe, based on Lot's example, that's what our sons, that's what our daughters need from us, Dad. The question is, are we going to be willing to pay the price to give it to them? Are we willing to pay the price to provide that for our children and for our family? If we are, then I want to invite you right now in your heart to just pray this prayer. It could be in your words, but pray something like this to God. Just begin to say, God, I want to be a spiritual leader. Or many of you, I know that's true for you, so just say, God, I'm recommitting myself to being a spiritual leader in my home. I want to be a man of character and consistency in my home. But I acknowledge, I recognize that I can't do it on my own. I can't do it in my strength. So help me to put the spiritual welfare of my family ahead of my professional or financial desires or goals. And then help me to safeguard my children's environments and associates, for I realize it's absolutely impossible for them to be surrounded by people of poor character, people who disregard God and not be negatively influenced by them. And then would you pray, Father, keep me from foolishly believing that it doesn't matter what I believe, what I do, as long as I believe the right things and say the right things. And finally, would you say, Father, help me to listen to your warnings by becoming even a better student of your word, by becoming even a greater man of prayer. And so finally, would you just say to the Lord, would you just say, God, today I ask you to be the leader of my life so that I could be the spiritual leader in my home and for my children that I know not only that I want to be, but they fully deserve and you desire. Heavenly Father, thank you for how even when we look at a negative example, you can teach us how to avoid those mistakes. And you can inspire us through the promise of the empowerment and the presence of the Holy Spirit that we can live lives of character and credibility with our children, and that we can set them up, unlike what Lot did, we can set them up for spiritual success. So I pray that for every one of us as a father, every one of us as a mother and a single mother, I pray for us as grandparents that you will help us set our children, our families up for spiritual success, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jerry. Well, Jerry led us through that prayer, and perhaps you made a decision today, and maybe you're asking, what's next? Well, I'm going to invite you to take that gray connection card back out this morning online. You're going to find that link in the chat window, but perhaps you made one of those decisions that you wanted to recommit your life, or you want to grow deeper in your faith. You want to know how you can be the spiritual leader in your home. If you would, maybe check one of those boxes on the back of the card. We have some resources that we would love to be able to provide for you to help you in your spiritual journey and your walk and knowing what those next steps are for you and learning what it looks like to be a dad who follows Jesus and who teaches his children about Jesus. So simply do that on that card this morning online as well and that connect link. And then don't forget that as part of that, filling out that card, that gives you that opportunity for us to be able to bless one of you. I wish I could do it for all of us, but one in this service will be able to take that drill home next week. I'll get in contact with you and let you know about it, but I would love to be able to place that in your hands. And of course, these resources and things that we're able to provide are because of your generosity here at Peckway Church. By your tithes and offerings and giving, we're able to offer things like Right Now Media, Bible studies to help you as parents and help you in your daily walk, and being able to provide other resources for people that we talk to throughout the week. So thank you so much for that. If you would like to give today, you can do that in person. There's envelopes actually in your pew. Real simply, you can do that digitally. You can find information online. You can find that there, or you can go to our website and find that as well. Thank you so much for spending your Father's Day here with us today and for your attention. And if you would, please enjoy some snacks and coffee out in the lobby this morning. Take some pictures. We've got some props out there for our photo prop for dads. So enjoy your day, and I invite you back next week, same time, to worship with us again. Hope you have a great day. Thank you.